Amateur Traveler, episode 143. Today, the Amateur Traveler goes to Colombia. You may be surprised that we're talking about traveling to a country that so many people have been avoiding, but keep an open mind and listen to what our guest has to say about travel to this beautiful South American country. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. One thing we should point out as a news item before we get into the interview today is, since we recorded this episode on Colombia, one of the things that's been in the news has been Colombia, as there were some people who were hostages who were taken by FARC that has been fighting against the government of Colombia for a while there, and were released or were rescued by the government. So before we spend a little time telling you that Colombia is much better and safer, I will read you this story in its entirety. The rescue last week of 15 hostages in Colombia held by the revolutionary, terrorist gang FARC, was as unbelievable as a Robert Ludlum novel. Colombian commandos disguised as members of the humanitarian mission gathered the 15 hostages plus two of their guerrilla captors, ostensibly to fly them to another outpost. Once they were safely in the air, the real mission became clear. The hostages were freed, the captors now captive. For Ingrid Betancourt, a prisoner for 6 years, freedom was sweet indeed, a reunion with her beloved mother, sister, husband, and children. Freed, too, were three American military contractors. It's almost a storybook ending, minus the harsh years in captivity. Hundreds of abductees are believed to still be held by FARC in the jungles of Colombia. FARC positions itself as a revolutionary group, but in reality is a thuggish group of criminals who use drug money to advance its agenda. The rescue was one more nail in its coffin. So I did want to read the story because you may have seen it, and point out that a lot of the news reports are saying this is yet more evidence that FARC is losing power and that Colombia is becoming a safer place to travel. But I do want to put an emphasis before we start the interview on safer. No place is completely safe. And certainly if you go to Colombia, I would recommend you stay in the areas that we talk about in this particular interview. I'd like to welcome to the show Sam Gonzalez from Maryland, who has come to talk to us about a trip to Colombia. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Why Colombia, of all places? Isn't that a very dangerous place, is the first question people are going to ask. So
yeah, and you know, that's one of the things that I also thought of when we started even thinking about the trip. We had planned to go to Ecuador for a week for a family event, and then also, since Ecuador borders with Peru and my family's from Peru, we thought, why not go to Peru for a week? And then I was between jobs at the time, and we said, what the hell, let's just make it a month, since the timing worked out to be okay. And after checking with the airline and adding Colombia, it wasn't that much more money. We had a couple options. It was between Argentina, Colombia, and Venezuela. I have a friend that I work with, and a personal friend who is from Colombia, and a couple other friends as well. And just from hearing their recent experiences, we kind of decided to do something totally out of the ordinary, where most people would be afraid of going to Colombia. We said, let's give it a try.
Now, you knew, I assume, before you went, that Colombia has gotten safer recently for tourists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's what I've heard and read. But still, like, even when we told our family and friends, that was the first reaction. They said, what? Are you going to be okay? Is it safe? So that's the first reaction, which we made it, and it was a great experience overall.
Give us some idea of what your itinerary was in Colombia. What parts of Colombia did you see?
Sure. So we were in Colombia for a week, and we arrived into Bogota, mm-hmm. which is one of the main cities that the airline that we traveled with flew into. And we spent about a day in Bogota, but then we didn't spend much time there, just because from the research I had done, it's not really a touristy place, even though it is, but at least the stuff that we look for, there wasn't any the stuff that we were interested in for staying more than a few nights.
And what kind of stuff do you look for?
We're usually big beach people. Like, we like to go to the beach, more tropical places. I mean, we do like the cities. It's just that since it was the end of our vacation, it was our last stop, we wanted to do some R&R. We thought, well, Bogota is not really your R&R kind of place. Look for two other places that have beach, that have tropical weather all year round. So we ended up going to Cartagena and then also San Andres, which is the island off of the Caribbean and the coast of Nicaragua. Apparently, when I did my research, San Andres, the island, belonged to Nicaragua, and then I guess was taken back by Colombia, which I didn't know.
Okay.
Like I said, we arrived in Bogota. We were there one night, and then the next day we left for Cartagena, and we were there for about 2 days. And from there, we flew over to San Andres, and were there for about 4 days. And then flew back to Bogota, and then deported back to the U.S.
Okay. And then, overall impression of Colombia. How is Colombia different? Is it the same as Peru or in Ecuador, or is it strikingly different?
It's a little bit different. I mean, overall, the culture is typically the same, depending on what parts of the country you are. I would say that Cartagena was a little bit more friendly. There was a lot more sightseeing to do and just more culture, I felt like, where in Bogota, when I travel to cities, it's a little hard to engage with people and really get into their culture. But I didn't find that an issue in Cartagena, and especially San Andres. The people there were very friendly. Overall, it was a great experience. I think out of the three cities we went to in Colombia, Cartagena was probably our favorite one, just because it was a very colonial city, especially if that's the kind of vacation or trip or city that you're looking for. Very colonial, lots of balconies. Cartagena is broken down into basically the new town and the old town, and the old town part of Cartagena is walled in. And it has a lot of history. I mean, we did 2 days of touring, basically with two different guides, and just hearing a lot about the history and some of the legends. It's a very rich experience, I would have to say.
So you said with two guides, how did you find guides to guide you around Cartagena?
So we didn't have a book or anything. It was mostly we did our research online. We showed up, had a hotel booked up. On this trip, we used TripAdvisor a lot, finding hotels.
Mm-hmm.
The first guy, we basically went to the Cathedral of St. Pedro, which is St. Pete's Cathedral in Cartagena. You had to pay like an extra couple dollars, I think, to have a guide. And after he finished giving us the tour of the actual church, he just kept going. So we just kind of tagged along and didn't even talk about the price or anything. He was good. We liked what he was explaining to us and some of the places that he took us. And then we ended up, you know, sitting at lunch at the end of the tour, and he was like, you know, just give me whatever you think is appropriate. So I think we gave him like $20 maybe. He was happy with that because I had no idea how much regularly a guy would charge there or what was the going rate. That night at dinner, we stayed at this bed and breakfast in Cartagena called Casa La Fe, which is a really nice place. Right next to it, there was a restaurant that we decided to have dinner there one night. And the waiter that we had there, he just started telling us stories, and he had actually studied history of Cartagena. He was a historian of the city.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so he knew a lot. We fell in love with him, so we were like, you know, would you mind showing us around tomorrow? And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. And it was about the same amount, about $20, $25, I think we paid him. And that was definitely a lot better of a tour. He just took us to a bunch of different places, a lot more detail than the guide, especially with some of the history and legends that they have in the city.
What kind of places did he take you?
For example, he took us to, he was one of the founding fathers of the city, or one of the first presidents of the country that was from Cartagena, and he took us to his house.
Mm-hmm.
They had a house and also a park for him, which I didn't see anywhere on any of the websites that I had read, at least as a tour site. I hadn't seen it. And it was a beautiful park, beautiful house, basically right outside of the walled city. I think a lot of people, when they go to Cartagena, they kind of stay within the walled city, but they won't go out of it. That alone was basically just a very nice stop where there wasn't anybody there as far as tourists, where in some of the other places you encounter that, waiting in lines. And it was very nice just to find those kind of places that off the beaten path, I guess you could say. He pointed the houses out and belonged to different artists like Julio Iglesias and different people, things that we wouldn't have known.
And when you say the first president, was that Simon Bolivar?
No, it was somebody else, Rafael Núñez.
Okay.
He's from Cartagena, and he had been president, I think, more than once. So that's why also he was pretty popular. He was like a favorite son of the country.
Okay.
The other thing we did in Cartagena was actually we did the Chiva bus tour, which is a Chiva bus, which is kind of like, it looks like a school bus, but it's chopped off and it has no doors, and it's very typical of the country. And it takes you around the city to different spots. It was a really cool way. A lot of tourists did that, and it took us to a bunch of different places. They also did it at night, which we didn't do, but it basically takes you to a bunch of the bars and clubs. And it seemed like a nice way of seeing the nightlife, but we were exhausted pretty early. I mean, we didn't even get a chance to think about it. The other place that we like, a couple of the plazas, which are the parks in the city, are really nice. Plaza Bolivar was probably our favorite one, I think. It's just very rich in history, lots of locals that hang out there. And that was actually one of our favorite stops, too. There were at least, I would have to say, 10 of those, 10 plazas that we came across, that we walked around. And the second guide actually took us to a couple of them that we hadn't seen before, or hadn't even read about.
And do you remember the name of that?
Yeah, Plaza Bolivar.
That's Plaza Bolivar. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one's definitely definitely a must-see, I think. It just had a lot of old cathedrals or old churches within this plaza, but also a lot of the buildings that were there were still original from back in the day. It kind of gave you a good sense of the rest of the city as well.
Biggest surprise with Colombia?
Biggest surprise. Never felt like we were in danger. One of the things that we had read was that you could get kidnapped, you would get offered drugs. Neither of them actually occurred. We never felt at risk that we weren't in a part of town that somebody could have kidnapped us or anything like that. I was pretty relieved about that because I came into the country already kind of fearing that. I would have to say it wasn't an issue at all. And we walked at night pretty late, but just stayed within the tourist places. I mean, we never walked away into any dark alleys or anything like that. And I think that's kind of like the general rule in any country you go to, as long as you stay within places where there's people and, you know, wandering off into dark streets, you'll be fine. Even changing money was pretty easy. And a lot of the places took dollars as well. That wasn't even an issue of having to find an ATM and then being afraid of carrying so much cash around. Didn't feel at all unsafe ever.
Now, in terms of communicating, you speak fluent Spanish, I assume. So you were probably getting by with Spanish more than English.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. But from what I saw, there's a lot of cruises that stop in Cartagena now. Or at least.
Oh, okay, really?
It's starting to grow. Mm-hmm. They're starting to become a popular cruise stop and cruise line stop. And in the 2 days that we were there, we saw groups of tourists from these cruise lines and the vendors and people at the restaurants. Their English is pretty decent, so it wasn't also an issue.
And you talked about the Chiva buses. I want to say that that means goat. Well, how's my Spanish there?
Yeah, and that's actually the translation.
So it's not the chicken bus in Cartagena, it's the goat bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty funny-looking bus. It looked like a school bus, but just kind of stripped down, and it had huge benches on all the seats and no doors, no nothing, and it just out in the open. And it was nice, I mean, just to go that way. I mean, the tour guide that we were on, they spoke actually both English and Spanish, too, so they said everything twice because there were people on the bus that spoke only English.
And thinking of Chiva, the food in Colombia.
Lots of seafood, mostly in San Andres and Cartagena. When we were in Bogota, we stayed with my girlfriend's in-laws. We had a lot of traditional food that was kind of home cooking. It was spicy. I mean, it was kind of Cajun food, I would have to say.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and it was kind of like a blend of not just Cajun, but lots of seafood. And even though there were a lot of dishes with red meat, I try to eat as much seafood as I can whenever I'm at a city that has access to the sea. Mm-hmm. So very rich, very spicy, at least the dishes that I like. But my girlfriend, she doesn't eat anything spicy. So there's also that. I mean, you'll be able to find something that's not spicy as well, just because I know from experience, because she doesn't eat anything spicy. So,
what's one thing you wish you had known before you went to Colombia?
There's a lot to see there. I would have wanted to stay there a couple more days in each of the cities. I feel like we spent really no time in Bogota. The only place we went to see was the Cathedral of Salt, which is about an hour outside of the city, which is an entire cathedral built inside a salt mine, which is pretty amazing. But that was the only place that we got a chance to go to, because like I said, we were only there for 2 days and not really two full days, so we didn't have much time to go sightseeing. In Bogota itself, La Zona Rosa, which translates to the pink zone, I guess, it's kind of like the trendy restaurants and the parks and the stores. We didn't get the chance to see that either. Or the old part of Bogota as well, which is more of the downtown area, which it does have parks and museums and cathedrals, and we didn't get to see that either. Since we were only there for half a day, we really just kind of hung out with the family. And on our last day was the day that we went to the Cathedral of Salt, which was pretty cool. But I wish I would spend more time, maybe another day or a full day in Bogota. I think Cartagena, we didn't really get to experience the beach much, even though it was kind of our plan to get in some beach time. But there was so much to see, we felt like, and we didn't want to miss out on it. So another day there would have been nice. The other thing that a lot of people do is when they stay in Cartagena, they go to these other little beach towns that are an hour, 2 hours away from Cartagena. Isla de Rosario, for example, is an island off of the coast of Cartagena, which a lot of people take the day off to go there. We didn't get to do that because we thought, well, we're going to spend about 4 days in San Andres, where that's where we'll do all of our beach, like, you know, just kind of relaxing at the beach. So, but yeah, I wish we would have stayed a little bit longer in Cartagena and Bogota, for sure.
And we haven't said that much about San Andres yet.
Yeah, we either had to decide between Medellin or San Andres, mm-hmm. or one of the other cities. And after hearing from people that San Andres was beautiful, white sandy beaches, and we decided to go there. And we were there for about 4 days. We stayed at an all-inclusive place, which I wasn't 100% happy with. And just from my previous experiences at all-inclusive places, It just felt like it wasn't the greatest. But regardless of that, the island was beautiful. I mean, it was just white sandy beaches. The place itself, I was kind of expecting a very small town, very not developed, but it was like another small little city, and it was pretty well developed. So I was kind of surprised at that. And one of the things that we thought was that they're just still growing on how to deal with tourism. They're not fully deployed, I guess you could say. I mean, one of the tours we did to one of the small islands that are off of San Andres, there's a couple of keys off of it. We went on one of those one day, and in the mess of everybody trying to get on the boat and trying to get off the boat and the vendors trying to sell you tickets and everything, they never charged us. So we basically went on this tour for free, because at the end of the tour, when we went back, I thought that that's when we were going to get charged by the person, in which originally the person who had sold us, actually he didn't even sell us the tickets. He gave us like a little stub and it had his name on it. And basically you just showed up the next morning and pay for it. So we showed up and got on the boat, never saw that person again throughout the day. They were asking me, oh, you already talked to this person. I'm like, yeah, who do I pay? And they were like, just kind of kept handing it off to somebody else. It was like, here, this person's going to take you to the next island. And then at the end of the day, we got dropped off looking around for somebody that worked and couldn't find anybody. So it was kind of crazy, but I think it's because they haven't developed a system, I guess. You pay now, and then it wasn't fully deployed on how their whole tour package system worked yet. And especially because there's a lot of people that work within these small organizations. Like, one person takes care of taking people on the boat, the other person takes care of the guide, the other person takes care of the rentals for like masks and whatever you need to go snorkeling. There was a lot of people that you had to deal with. It mm-hmm. wasn't just a one-person kind of shop, or at least that's the experience we had with the company that we ended up going to. I guess maybe there are other companies that it's a one-stop shop, but it felt like this one kind of kept getting handed off to somebody else, which we had no problem with, especially since we speak the language. But I could see people that don't speak fluent Spanish, they could just get lost. I mean, what are we doing? Like, we just have to stay on top of, all right, that person brought us here, I'm keeping an eye on him because I'm going back with him, kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, San Andres was a very nice trip, and we were there for 4 days. The hotel that we ended up staying in San Andres was called the Mar Azul, and they're part of a chain as well.
We should make sure I understand. The Mar Azul, the blue sea?
Mar Azul, yeah.
Okay.
It was a little bit of annoying because it's a chain of hotels. They're called the Cameron
mm-hmm.
hotel chain. The Mar Azul is one of them. There's like seven of them, I think, on the island or something like that. But you had access to all of them. But the one with the nicest beach, which is El Isleño, was closed for renovations. So you still have access to it, and you could still hang out at the beach, but they didn't have like a full kitchen working. So mm-hmm. in order to even have lunch there, you had to make a reservation. And it was just kind of annoying because the last thing I want to be doing on vacation is getting up earlier so that I can make reservations for our lunch. And that was the only kind of setback while staying at this hotel, from asking it around. That was really supposed to be like one of the best hotels. Actually, the hotel that we stayed at was supposed to be the best hotel out of the chain. But that chain is pretty well respected, I guess. But I was kind of disappointed overall just from the experience.
Okay. As we start to wind this down, the most memorable, pure Colombian moment, what really epitomizes the country for you?
There's probably two of them. One of them was basically having Colombian food, very original, grilled fish on the beach in San Andres.
Mm-hmm.
That was one. And the other one would have to be, there was a lady selling local sweets in Cartagena out of one of the main attractions. And just getting to interact with those people was kind of cool. Like, it wasn't just a transaction for them. It was more of like, they were interested in finding out where you were from, how you liked it, and they gave me tips and places to go, that sort of thing, where mm-hmm. from my previous experiences, it's like, okay, you want to buy candy here, give me your money, and that's as far as it goes. So both of those transactions, I think, were just kind of gave me even more of a satisfaction of coming to a country where they're just starting to get noticed as a tourist destination because mm-hmm. they're now safer. But the people themselves, they're trying harder, or they're trying, and maybe it's not trying, it's just the way they are. They're friendly people who are seeing their country becoming another tourist destination, and those are the kind of things that make people want to come back, because I definitely would go back to visit some of the places. So I think those two were the good experiences overall that I walk away with, and that makes me want to come back.
Okay. Any warnings you would give about going to Colombia?
I would have to say, if you don't speak fluent Spanish, don't forget a little guide to speaking, like a
Facebook.
Yeah, and also look around for local people that you would never expect. Like, most of the time when we go to other countries, we get a tour guide from the hotel. But like I said, the tour guide that we ended up going on the second day was a waiter that worked as a waiter as his day job. And then in the afternoons, he did the tour guiding thing. So I would have to say, you know, just kind of keep your eye open for things like that, because I think overall those give you a better experience than, at least for my own personal experience, it's just a richer experience because it was really a private tour that it was just my girlfriend and I with this tour guy versus doing a Chiva tour, which was still fun, but you're with people, you're with a group of people, and with a tour guide that basically has a time set on how much time he has spent, because that's just how the business runs.
Any last words for us about Colombia?
It's a nice country. Not that I'm trying to plug it in or promote it because I'm not from Colombia, but I am from South America, and I think overall Latin America has a lot to offer, and especially with the way the euro is right now, it's just a better destination, I think, for people that have dollars. Your dollar is definitely going to get farther up. It's going to get you farther than going somewhere else, not to be putting down Europe or anywhere else, but Colombia is probably one of the countries that's being overlooked by a lot of people, and it definitely should be on your radar to visit. So,
and just in terms of cost, what sort of cost for a meal or a hotel room in Colombia?
You can find all sorts of rates, just like any country, but for our hotel in La Cartagena, for example, I think it was about $100 a night, and it was a bed and breakfast, and it was in the old city, which I highly recommend versus staying outside of the walled city, just because you'll get a lot better experience. You won't have to get into too many cabs late at night, which is also a safe reason. We were basically right in the center of it, which is called Casa La Fe. It's pretty popular. When I ended up going to their website, they had been rated by a bunch of different websites, and it was done in the main area, so that was nice. Meals were same thing. I mean, there's a couple places in Cartagena, La Vitrola, I believe it's called, which is a pretty high-end restaurant, and people like Shakira and all these artists go there. So, of course, those kinds of places are going to be a lot more expensive versus a local place. I think maybe our meal was like $5, $10 per person for a pretty large plate of like grilled fish with your sides and your drinks. So it wasn't too expensive. Same thing with San Andres was all-inclusive, and I believe that was around $600 for the two of us, which wasn't bad for 4 days.
Okay.
And it included overnight stays and meals and activities. So it wasn't expensive. It wasn't cheap either, but it's at a good medium place, I would say, especially depending on if you're on a budget, you can definitely have a good time and experience some cool things. But also if you want to explore it, you can definitely have those options as well.
Okay. Well, Sam, thank you for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about Colombia.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
I have one internet resource for you today, which has been mentioned on the discussion boards, but it hasn't been mentioned on the show yet, so far as I know, and that's Seat Guru. And if you're flying, Seat Guru can help you find a good seat, a seat that is less obstructed, a seat that may have power plugs, depending on what airline you're flying. So be sure to check that, or also check your airline's site for when you're booking a seat. Last time I flew to Colorado, I was able to take a look at the seat chart and see that they were putting me up in the front of the plane, which was full. The back of the plane was empty, and so I had a row all to myself. So something to think about when you're flying. For travel deals and a way to support the show, don't forget to check out amateurtraveler.com/affiliates for deals like the budget car rental deal, which I've mentioned before, where you can save $30 on a weekly car rental or 10% of your next budget car rental. In news for the community, I heard from Lynn, who wrote back about the Lancaster show. I really enjoyed listening to your travel podcasts. Lancaster County, PA was one of my favorite haunts when I lived in South Jersey. For a unique experience, may I suggest staying overnight on a farm? I did this several times with Girl Scout troops. These are working farms that have been in the family for several generations. You can meet a variety of animals and perhaps help with the chores, a good learning experience for the children. And then she gave me a site for the farm bed and breakfast directory, which I'll put both in the enhanced show for those of you who are watching on iTunes and also in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I also received an email from Brent, who wrote, "Thank you for creating such a useful and entertaining podcast. The show's content is always top-notch and the production quality excellent. I have learned so much from listening, and although I didn't get many opportunities to travel, I feel inspired to visit places you profile. I particularly like your approach of using anecdotal information from your guests to paint a picture of the off-the-beaten-path areas that just can't be seen from the window of a tour bus. To that end, I'd be very interested in the online workshops you suggested in episode 138. I've been in too many tourist herds on canned tours and really want to know how to strike out on my own and really experience these places and cultures. I haven't figured out yet if I'm going to have time to do that. It's been a crazy, crazy summer, but I'm still interested in figuring out some way of doing an online workshop about how to travel independently because I still think that that's a really nice way to travel. Although a couple of people who responded on the article I put on Tripinator.com really had good reasons for why they preferred tours. And so it's interesting, and it's an interesting balance. And then Brent went on to write, "I live in Virginia Beach and truly enjoyed sailing in the Greek islands as it gave me a new perspective on how to experience these places. I'm not a sailor, but I am now a lot more interested in learning. Something that I'd like to correct is that Chincoteague and Assateague are on the eastern shore of Virginia and not the Outer Banks, but the eastern shore is a very unique place to visit in its own right. Tangier Island is also notable. I'm not that familiar with the Outer Banks, but I have a couple of friends who spend a lot of time down there, so I'll see if they'd be interested in contributing to this show." Yes, Brent, I completely screwed that up. A couple people caught me. I should let you know that quite often when I'm talking to the guests and I say something or when I'm talking about the show, often I am going just completely from memory, and that usually serves me very well. But in this case, I moved Chincoteague and Assateague down about two or three states. So my apologies for that, those of you who have may have been geographically shifted by the move. With that, we'll bring this episode of The Amateur Traveler to a close. I hope you too will contribute on the discussion boards. I appreciate some of the people who've been commenting in there recently or comment on the posts at amateurtraveler.com. Also, drop me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com if you have any questions or destinations that you'd like to be addressed in the show, or if you just have a comment. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral. Got to sit in one more cabin.